Eastern
on Apple CarPlay and Android Auto with the Bloomberg Business app.
You can also listen live on Amazon Alexa from our flagship New York station. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
I want to dig a little deeper into the small cap world because the Russell 2000 is up 1.6%. Now, the narrative, if you just rewind to Monday, was that we were broadening out this rally in the S&P, that it wasn't just big tech. We were finally seeing small caps get a little bit of a bid. Well, let's talk to Brian Smoluk. He's principal and portfolio manager of the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund. He joins us from Palm Beach, Florida. To Paul's pain, as he looks at the palm trees in the background. Hey, Brian.
Killing me.
Do you buy small caps here? Like, are they actually going to finally make a good comeback?
I think so. The CPI print yesterday clearly didn't help things near term, given the Fed was a little bit too aggressive in December when they talked about aggressive cuts this year. But I think once the CPI does settle down to a level that people are comfortable with where the Fed's going to cut, it's a matter of when, not if, then small caps will outperform. You see that when people want to put on risk. Small cap, particularly small cap growth, tends to put on a really big move. And then in Q4 last year, when that happened, the space really ripped. And it's been a fairly protracted period of big underperformance for the last several years. So the setup is good given valuations, earnings revisions are trending positive. Spreads, which are a great leading indicator for small cap stocks, have tightened significantly to just a little over 100 basis points. So the odds are highly in the space's favor for it to outperform over the next 12 months.
Hey, Brian, am I going to get a valuation break if I go down into smaller mid-cap territory relative to the S&P 500?
Yeah, so if you look at small cap growth versus the S&P, it usually trades at a premium. Right now, it's trading around 18 times 2025 earnings versus the S&P at 20 times. So you do get a discount there. That's part of what I was saying why the setup is good, because you get a relative valuation break. Usually the growth is faster in small cap names. I wouldn't expect this upcoming cycle to be any different. Mm-hmm. So that's why you'll get probably some multiple expansion and positive earnings revisions, which should lead to outperformance over the next 12 months.
Hey, Brian, would you have made a different argument 6 months ago? Because small caps did have a moment last year and that moment was short-lived. Is the argument different now?
I would say it's honestly pretty similar. We're bottoms-up stock pickers trying to find companies with a dislocation of fundamentals versus valuation. It's been a constructive setup, and 6 months ago, it actually was good when you look into Q4 and small cap and putting a move on to being up around 19% for the year last year. So it was solid, but it has been a waiting game for small cap, and you need rates to cooperate with spreads for the sector to work.
Fortress Aviation, FTAI is the ticker. What's the call there, Brian?
We like the stock. It's one of our bigger positions. It's been really huge over the last 18 months. We think there's still some significant legs left in the story for it to really work. It trades at around 20 times earnings. They have a new module repair business for engines that's growing around 100%, and we think there's upside in that area, particularly when you look at all the news in the supply chain and airlines across the world really need to optimize how well their current engines work, given that they can't get new engines or new planes when Boeing's having all these problems. Meanwhile, the asset value on their current engines has been moving up because of the supply demand imbalance created by the fact that new planes really can't make it out the door, and you have rising demand around the world continuing for passenger travel.
You also have Celsius, which is it's like a Red Bull energy drink, right? I know it's different, but it's the same kind of idea. You like this company. How come?
Yeah, we've owned it for a while. It's a secular market share gainer. We think in the category, it's gone from around 2% share to 10% share. We think they can reasonably get to 20% share. They have a partnership with Pepsi that's ramped up over the last 12 months. Pepsi is the largest distributor in the world. And fortuitously, they left Budweiser, which obviously wasn't great with all the Bud Light issues that they were having. And we think the street's at about 40%. They could easily grow 50% this year. And the stock's just carrying around 13% share. And as I said earlier, we think they can get to 20%.
And have you ever had one of those energy drinks?
No.
I'm scared of them.
Yeah.
Celsius is a little bit healthier. It's all natural ingredients. You still get the boost from caffeine. It's 200 milligrams of caffeine. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't take it before you go to bed. But it tastes better. It's healthier than some of the other drinks out there.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Brian, how do you define kind of like the market cap? Like, what's a small cap? What's a mid cap for you? And what happens when they maybe grow out of those levels?
Yeah. So the last 6 months has been abnormal for the sector in that there's been a huge bifurcation. So within the Russell 2000 growth, for example, Super Micro is actually in the benchmark and it's over a $30 billion market cap. So normally I would say the range is between, call it 100 million up to 6 or 7 billion, but it has expanded over time. The sweet spot really is in that $2 to $5 billion range, and those stocks tend to be a little bit more inefficient. And we don't typically sell a stock when it gets too big. It's really when we think it's efficiently priced based on the fundamentals, or we think something bad's going to happen, we'll step aside.
And it's a leading question, because we're talking about, you manage a small cap growth fund, but growth versus value in the Russell, is it the same kind of thing as what we see in the general market? Growth, tech, everything else, value.
Well, in small cap growth, you do have a larger percentage of software companies, semiconductor companies, biotech, and a little bit less financials, and then some of the higher growth consumers. But small cap growth and small cap value are relatively highly correlated, but in different areas, there can be big dispersions. Like in 2020, you saw growth massively outperform value, and then it completely inverted the prior year. We frankly try to be agnostic and try to find companies that are growing reasonably quickly, call it 15%, but are inefficiently priced. So we kind of thread the needle there.
There's a good article in the Bloomberg Terminal today. Florida boom cools an area where home insurance costs tripled. Hurricane Ian worsened already rising homeowners rates, and they call that like Naples, Sarasota, Cape Coral. I noticed you guys own some exposure here. HCI Group is a homeowners insurance company based in Florida. Uh-oh.
Yes.
What's that about?
Yeah. So it's been a great stock because of the dislocation in this particular geography. And what's happened is the lawyers had the upper hand, not a big surprise, for an extended period here. A lot of insurers pulled out because of that, because they were having massive losses. The state legislature came in, made it so that it was more reasonable and favorable to insurers. HCI was set up well to write new premiums profitably, as well as take over existing premiums from the state entity, which is called Citizens, which allowed them to dramatically outperform expectations, and earnings growth is significant. So it's trading 11 times earnings. We actually think there's upside to that number. And they're just set up well because of supply and demand in the area. And as you know, the area is really growing. So you have a lot of people moving here. So demand is strong.
As Paul talks about all the time. Mm-hmm. You do want to move there, don't you?
No, he doesn't. That's a hard no.
Okay, it's a hard no, but he does get jealous of the palm trees.
Yes.
What I find interesting, though, when you talk about insurers is that, you know, Florida is going to get hit with storm after storm, and it is a bit worse now. And I just wonder how the risk premium got to bake into these stocks.
So weather is a big issue, obviously, during hurricane season. HCI has been here forever, and they've done a good job pricing for that risk. So you just got to assume over an extended period of time that when you take your lumps, you're going to more than make up for it based on pricing. And as you noted from that article, pricing's up huge. And there are a lot of different reasons for that. And in condos, for example, there was that condo that went down in Miami, and that jacked up premiums over the area. And insurance companies were able to capitalize because now condos realized they just had to become conforming with state code. So to me, hurricanes are a manageable risk here. There's actually been less direct hurricane impacts on Southeast Florida than up in the Northeast where you guys are. Yeah. So, but you do have a fair amount happening in the Gulf, but there's less population in Florida and the Gulf than on the Southeast side.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. As always, Brian Smolik, he's a principal and portfolio manager of the Hood River Small Cap Growth Fund, not in Bend, Oregon, but in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.